doesn't.
Sanders with a seam. Sanders with a cutback. And Sanders down the sideline. One to beat.
This is the Pride of Detroit podcast. It's the podcast from SB Nation.
We're not going to be able to get this going because you're just giggling.
All right, I'm done.
We are recording. Welcome to the Pride of Detroit podcast. Welcome to the Pride of Detroit podcast. This is the PODcast, the podcast. Part of SB Nation, prideofdetroit.com, at Pride of Detroit on Twitter, Pride of Detroit on Facebook, if you want to delve with the dredges of humanity there. Find the podcast on iTunes. I'm Chris Lemieux, writer for Pride of Detroit and podcaster extraordinaire. And we've got a stacked house in here of guys who just can't stop giggling because we're looking at old Detroit Vipers gear.
Hell yeah.
This is all instigated by one Ryan Matthews, editor and fantasy writer. At Pride of Detroit.
Yeah. Hey, how are you doing, guys? Also, you can add to the list of things, fantasy loser. I'll lick my wounds, and maybe Reno will give me a chance to come back this week. But my Twitter handle, at Ryan_POD, and why don't we pass it off to Reno?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm the fantasy champ now, Alex Reno. You can follow me at Alex_Reno.
And you can follow me, I always forget to do this, at Malkovich Plan. And then the one who is giggling to start this whole off is fearless leader and managing editor Jeremy Reisman at Detroit Online. Hello, Jeremy.
Hey, guys. I'm just a giggling baby today, so you can just drop all of the formalities today. We're going to get a little silly.
This is going to be a very immature podcast. I'm going to warn everyone right now because we have a name that we have. It's been 48 hours and we're still not done laughing about this man's name. That the Lions now have an offensive coordinator named Jim Bob Cooter.
He said Cooter.
Yes, I said Cooter. Thank you, Alex. Very, very astute. Let's just start this real quick I want to start this by recapping the Vikings game.
We lost.
Reno was there.
All right, we're done.
Okay.
We lost.
I was there. It was just as bad in person as it was on TV, I can assure you that.
Yeah, I mean, it was basically, if you don't remember what happened, you can watch the game over again, or you could watch the Chargers game, or you could watch the... What was the other one that we started at?
The Vikings game?
The other Vikings game. Yeah. I don't know. All the games are kind of running into each other at this point. The Lions are starting off hot.
The Denver game. Yeah.
Denver game. I actually sent out a tweet today. The Lions are winning the first quarter pretty handily this year and just fall apart from there. And that leads us to a bunch of coaching problems, which...
Leads us to firings.
Which leads us to getting Cooter.
All right, do we want to start just there? Or do we want to have a little bit of talk about Joe Lombardi and why he is now out of town?
Can I ask Reno a question real quick?
You can once he's done finishing that beer.
Okay.
Go for it.
Well, Reno. You were in the end zone, right? Were you sitting in one of the end zones?
I was first row in the end zone, yes.
Okay, were you in the end zone where Stephon Diggs made his diving catch?
I was. In front of me. That was amazing.
Yeah, okay, so it was as impressive in person as it was on TV?
It was even more impressive because I had him on my FanDuel team that destroyed you 197-107.
God damn it. I didn't even think about how I walked into that.
Right into it.
Ooh.
That's the last time I ask you a question. I'm done. I'm fading into the background of this four-man podcast right now.
See, why didn't you do that last week when you were talking about Michigan State so much?
We had a lot of topics that we probably should have covered, but we didn't last week. But since you brought up that catch, I was also there for the Megatron touchdown catch and the Ebron touchdown catch, and everybody was getting hype. We thought that Lombardi was turning it around. He was in the booth again, and then everything fell apart, and we could not adjust to the other team's adjustments. It was bad.
As with
sad,
every time
sad
before.
Sad trumpet. Sad trumpet.
So Lombardi's out the door. So are a bunch of assistants. General feeling, though, is that, you know, I know Caldwell says we're running out of time. I think at this point it is out of time.
I would agree.
So what do we really make of the firing in general?
I thought there was a lot of kind of strangeness surrounding it because, first of all, Caldwell had an earlier press conference the day that he fired them saying that he wasn't going to make any changes. They were still evaluating. And then 4 hours later, I guess the evaluation had become complete and he fired Joe Lombardi and two offensive line guys.
The robot had not finished processing all the data.
Yes. Yeah. That was the first kind of red flag for me. And then there was the issue that he said he didn't, decision was completely his. He didn't ask the owners. He didn't, you know, this was completely his decision, which strikes me as a little weird, not only because he had just said that he wasn't firing anyone.
Well, can I ask, was it just his decision or did he, I mean, he says he didn't go to the Fours, but he could have gone to the president, Luand, or to Mayhew, or to anyone else who was kind of like president of these operations. Could they have possibly said that to them?
It's possible, and I think he did kind of ride back that quote today a little bit, saying, well, obviously I talked to some people. I wouldn't just blindly make this decision by myself. But to me, after saying you weren't going to fire anyone, and then you do 4 hours later, clearly something had changed, not just with you. Right. I'm not saying necessarily this wasn't his decision, although that's certainly a possibility. But I don't know. There's just something strange going on, and I'm not really buying Jim Caldwell at face value right now.
Yeah, I don't really know what to do with that, Alex.
No, me neither. Like, I thought, like, after the firing, I was like, yay, Jim, Joe Lombardi's gone. Like, I don't want to see him ever again on this team. But at the same time, I'm not really buying into Caldwell, and we still have Caldwell as a coach and Mayhew as a GM. And I think they're probably the next two to go. If we lose in London, I wouldn't even be surprised to see Caldwell gone.
That'd be grim. And that's the other weird thing too, Jeremy, is that, you know, if you were going to wait to the point where you're seven games deep in the season with one loss, might as well wait one more and then get rid of him over the bye week rather than thrusting a new guy into this spot where he gets like 4 days to prepare and he has to do that on a transatlantic flight.
Yeah, that was the other weird thing about this whole thing is that, you know, when it happened is makes no sense. And he said, you know, well, we needed to make a change right away to save the season. It's like, well, who's buying that right now?
You're not saving the season. You're 0-2 so far in division games. And you're 1-6 overall.
There's no hope at all. There's just no hope.
Right. And then, I don't know. If you really wanted to save the season, obviously this move would have had to been made a couple weeks ago. And like you said, it makes total sense if you're going to make a move to make it during the bye week, just not to handcuff your new offensive coordinator with a huge new game plan, supposedly a different scheme, probably not that different right away.
My mistake, I said 0-2, they're 1-2.
Yes.
I forgot that the Bears exist.
We still own the Bears, yes.
Still own all that matters. So, yeah, we're definitely not exactly sad to see Joe Lombardi go. I wrote today, though, that, like, you know, just listening to Stafford and some of those guys, they are kind of sad to see guy go. And this brings us back around because I noticed you, Jeremy, wrote about Jim Schwartz wanting to get back in this, and I cannot tell you how badly I seized up.
I part of me wanted to troll Pride of Detroit a little bit just by putting his face on the front page a little bit. But I think he's a good defensive coordinator. He'd be good out there.
Do you know that, like, no Lions, after a coach gets the Lions job, they don't get a head coaching job anywhere else in the National Football League? The Lions head coach job is a death sentence to coaching in the league.
Unless you're Dick Duran.
Like,
interim head coach, then he became the Bills coach. We own the Bears.
We own the Bears.
We own the Bears.
You see that story about how Mark Trestman like lost the Bears?
I did not.
Deadspin ran this today.
Didn't he let one of the players like basically own one of the coaches?
Yeah, and then he made him a team captain the next week, and all the players were like, "F this."
Yeah, like Canadian Football League is kind of different from the National Football League.
Is that where Trestman came from?
Yeah, he came from the CFL, the Alouettes. Yeah. Don't test me on my CFL knowledge, though.
We weren't testing you. We were relying on you.
Moving on from the Vikings, though, because I don't want to talk anything about it. And
you we're know, still talking about that?
We're talking about Caldwell, which I guess is ancillary to that, maybe. I mean, not Caldwell, Lombardi. I'm going to keep doing this because everyone's first name is like Joe or Jim in this situation. This is awful for me.
Well, I mean,
a lot of boring names for
Reno brought this up earlier when he was talking about how people were excited to see Lombardi go. But I mean, you have to temper that because Caldwell's still in control of the team, essentially. Yeah. I mean, he's still the head coach.
He's still managing games. He's still making poor decisions in the fourth quarter, like kicking a field goal when you
down
still need
seven.
A touchdown.
And then time management with timeouts. Like, it's not hard. Like, I mean,
yeah, we're going to gift Kansas City a timeout on Sunday.
Yeah, like, I just don't get how you can come out of a commercial break and then you should know the play. You should go onto the field and do that play, but you're calling a timeout. What is this?
What? Or he's like calling a timeout when someone else has possession and when the other team has possession and it's like 2:06 to go in the fourth when they could have just run it out to the 2 minute warning.
Yeah, I think it's well trodden territory that Caldwell's not a great game manager, and it's going to be interesting to see if the changing in coaching is going to mess that up even more. You know, with delegating new tasks to new people, we might see some more messes with, you know, 10 people on the field, that sort of thing. Who knows?
Right. There was a reporter who made a point. Didn't somebody ask Caldwell if at any point in time he thought about taking over the offensive play calling?
Yes. And he said it never crossed his mind.
Never crossed his mind. Oh.
Which is fine because he's not a very good play caller either.
I mean, even on the sidelines, just from Jim Caldwell's appearance, it looks like a lot of things don't really cross his mind. So
I'm sure
but
a
like,
lot
this
does.
Isn't, like,
just, he doesn't show up the world.
Yeah, but like I guess what I was trying to say with like Reno's point is that everybody is, you know, singing "Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead." Good thing that Lombardi's out of town, but Caldwell is still the head coach. I mean, much to the opposite of everybody's line of thinking, Cooter isn't a cure-all. So,
can we also acknowledge that the defense is kind of breaking down too? I know people are still high up on Terrell Austin, but I mean, how many more times does the secondary have to get burned?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with the pass defense. I kind of wish I had more time to look in depth, but the pass defense is just god awful right now. It's worst in the league, and it's really not even close.
31st, yeah. According to Football Outsiders. Okay. That's where they
really?
Rank the pass 31st. Rank.
31st. Wow. Yep. That. Wow. Yeah, I didn't realize they were that bad.
Yeah. The run defense is still, to me, at least decent. They just have kind of an issue with one or two plays going big.
18th, according to Football Outsiders.
Yeah.
So about average.
I mean,
so overall, then, the defense is actually kind of near the lower end of the league.
Yes. It's not good.
28th and overall.
And I get why most people are focusing on the offense.
Then, I mean,
that's obviously a big issue.
Yeah. Outside of a couple of big plays that go for, you know, big gains or whatever, that front seven has done a pretty good job, I feel like, against rushers this year. It's, I mean, with the secondary, I mean, Rasheed Mathis he just got really old.
Yeah.
Really,
yeah.
Life came at him so fast.
Yeah. Father time comes for everybody.
Yeah, and Slay just doesn't look like how he did last year. I mean, we were all expecting him to be this elite cornerback, number one cornerback this year, but he's given up all these big plays, and he's not showing up like the guy we thought he was going to be after training camp.
It's the safeties that are shining, and the corners aren't really doing much.
Right.
But even the safeties, I thought, haven't been doing it. Like, Glover Quinn got a pretty bad grade on Pro Football Focus last week. Digbo is the most, like, he's just a complete roller coaster ride. Like, he's either making this huge hit or missing tackles left and right. Like, just the secondary, I don't know, it just hasn't been good.
Well, let's talk about a new factor that we have in here, and that is a man with a buzzed haircut, a big face, who, and of course he coached at the University of Tennessee, because of course a man with his name had to coach at the University of Tennessee, a university where kids got caught for butt-chugging, for ingesting alcohol through their rectum. Jim Bob Cooter.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you didn't hear about this?
You did not remember that.
I don't think we need to get into butt-chugging.
I don't think we need, yeah.
It's, all you need to know is that there is a fantastic press conference video out there.
Oh man!
Where this kid's attorney tells everyone that he's not gay.
I've been in the dark here.
It's a few years old, but still, like, and Jim Bob Cooter is not without his own flaws, including apparently like several intoxicated incidents, climbing into bed with a woman in a house and a bed that wasn't his home, and a woman
that's
that he
what
did
I've
not.
Heard about.
Yeah, like it could get lit real quick with Jim Bob. Yes. Yes, I'm going to say it will get lit.
Well, let's be fair. Those incidents, I think, are at least 6 years in the past at this point.
Doesn't matter. Yeah, doesn't
those,
matter.
Those are isolated Cooter incidents, okay?
Can we go through some of the headlines we were bandying around in the Slack channel where we
you
do all of our
bet,
planning?
You bet we can. You bet we can.
Let's do it.
Oh my,
this is already off the rails. We were already talking about butt chugging. Why not do 5 minutes of Cooter talk?
I mean, as
can we before we get
I
there,
feel I feel like Cooter would be jealous of butt chugging though, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
All that butt play.
Before we even get there, can we just acknowledge that he willingly calls himself Jim Bob?
He does.
A 31-year-old man would like to go by the name Jim Bob.
You gotta lean into it at that point. If your name's already Cooter, you might as well just
lean into the Cooter.
Full measure.
That's right. Can't argue with that.
Lean into the Cooter.
Just go by Jim, or go by Bob.
No, it's his It's James Robert. So just James Cooter.
I mean, yeah. There's Jimbo Fisher. You could be Jimbo Cooter.
Or someone apparently named their kid Dabo Sweeney. So there's that.
Here's the thing: if your full name is James Robert Cooter, people are going to call you Jim Bob Cooter, whether you want to be called Jim Bob Cooter or not.
Yeah, I mean,
I guess. Fair enough.
I mean, yeah, like, where was he? Yeah, he's a Tennessee product. He born and raised Tennessee. Yeah.
Yep.
So that's going to happen.
All right, let's get into this. Let's get into this now.
Yeah. So
can we put like a timer on? Like, I'm gonna put a 30-second timer on, and we get 30 seconds to
give,
do
give
as
us
many,
a minute.
As many,
give us,
Cooter,
let's
as
give
many
us
Cooter
a minute.
Headlines. A minute.
Yeah, let's do just do a full minute.
All right, 1 minute. It starts now.
Now. Wasting time? Okay, so I'm just going to read some of these from the Slack. Cooter gets upset over the pressure, says all the sacks are taking its toll. Jeremy.
Oh, I don't even have it up on me, but I remember, I'm sorry. Cooter regrets cutting Bush.
Just anything that comes to mind, Alex.
All right, Cooter vows to stop penetration.
Bear's ready to pay anything just to see Cooter in person.
Cooter promises loose play but tight execution. Alex.
All right, Cooter penalized for too many men in the huddle.
Jeremy.
Do you have any up, Jeremy?
This is Jerry. I'm stealing from Jerry Mallory. I'm sorry. Cooter is intrigued by Woodhead. Plans to mimic his skill set in Detroit.
How time's up.
Already?
It's a minute.
I want to get to one, Jeremy.
Okay,
had.
I'm
Cooter
sorry. I have
Stafford
to do this
to
one.
Sling it.
I feel like one good one from everybody else.
Okay.
All right. Thanksgiving game recap. Eagles, Cox, run wild and dominate Cooter's O.
Bravo. Stafford wants to get vertical, hopes to see Cooter stretch to fit Johnson in his plan.
Oh, God. All right.
Cooter's been working with the tight ends this week.
Stafford gets over the hump. Lions get first playoff win as Cooter gets wet. You know, like he'd get like doused in Gatorade.
Yeah,
know?
I got you.
Yes, we.
I'm just trying to make sure. That everybody in the podcast knows.
Okay. Okay. Have we gotten a lot of pounding?
Cooter likes pounding attack of former Bronco ball brings him in for private workouts.
Okay. I don't think I'd ever say this in my entire life, but I'm all cootered out.
So foul.
Okay. Let's actually talk about the man now.
What were you talking about, Jim? Okay, let's talk about Jim.
Let's talk about Cooter. Can we acknowledge for a second that, you know, his credentials to this job is basically that he worked with Peyton Manning in Indianapolis and Denver. And
oh, that's weird. Sounds like the head coach's credentials.
Yeah, I was about to say,
sounds like Lombardi with Breeze.
He's Jim Caldwell. He's Jim Caldwell in whiteface.
Jim Bob Caldwell.
He's Jim Caldwell in a disguise. He's Jim Caldwell from Tennessee.
Yeah, I think, but at this point, you know, you're not expecting the Lions to go out and hire someone mid-season. I think this will be a good opportunity for him to just kind of have a test run. This is a guy who a lot of people regard as an up-and-comer, so give him a shot, see how he does. At this point, I don't think this coaching staff is going to be around next season anyways, but we'll see. But if, you know, if they rattle off a couple of wins and Jim Caldwell somehow saves his job, maybe he's your future offensive coordinator.
I mean, this is the first time play calling. I don't know if Caldwell's gone at the end of this year. I could very well see him getting like another half a season, and then somehow we're back here this time October where he's getting fired.
Oh, yeah, I could definitely see it. I mean, this is the same organization that kept Millen around for that long. So,
Schwartz and Mornaway.
But I don't know. They're definitely there. I mean, there's been a change, though. Like, I mean, I can't buy. I don't think any of us can buy the fact that we think that Caldwell, in 4 hours of evaluation, decided that it was time to give Lombardi the boot. Like this came from Martha Ford in her sunglasses.
Definitely.
I don't think her office.
I'm imagining the way you paint Martha Ford in her office with the sunglasses. It just feels just so gangster.
She is a gangster.
She fired Lombardi.
I just think of Weekend at Birdie's, really.
She did. God.
She's probably got
Mayhew and the lawn are just like controlling her arms.
You know what it is? She probably doesn't say anything. She just has like Joe Pesci in there. And he's like, hey, what are you doing here? What are you doing here, smart ass?
I haven't seen Joe Pesci.
Have we heard
Pesci
her talk ever?
I've never seen Joe Pesci and Martha Ford in the same room at the same time, guys.
I've never seen Martha Ford even open her mouth. That's kind of my plan here. I don't think she speaks. Yeah. She just has people do it for her.
She's like Vince McMahon's wife.
No, she doesn't want to be seen speaking. It's just she's the puppet player behind this mafia. She's the Cosa Nostra here.
I think Caldwell is done at the end of the season.
Well,
unless we rattle off 9 wins.
The reason I'm tending to agree was we brought Caldwell in for one reason, to fix Stafford in the offense.
Yes,
right, mm-hmm. And he had that on his track record. He had that in that he went into Baltimore. Joe Flacco immediately improved. You know, he took over Peyton Manning when it looked like all hell that Peyton Manning was just going to go down and that the Colts run in that god awful AFC South was at an end. And look what happens. They rattle off all those wins.
Yeah. It's weird that Caldwell was hired to fix the offense, but by association, he ended up ruining the offense and fixing the defense.
Or, I mean, it's not even really fixing the defense. It's just you had Ndamukong Suh
you hired an awesome defensive coordinator.
Right.
Last year, Detroit overall, as far as DVOA, was like 19th in the league in offense. So, like, they were leaning on the defense last year.
Yeah. Oh, I wrote in a column right at the end of the year asking whether Caldwell's season was really a success. And I kind of got a lot of heat for it because they were 11-5. Of course it was a success. But I'm like, look at the offense. It dropped pretty significantly while he was here. And, of course, the narrative at the time was, well, it was Joe Lombardi's first year, blah, 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 blah. Now we're looking at it.
Yeah,
in a worse situation. We see how that narrative played out. Yeah. I mean, even the defense started out really strong at the beginning of last year, and even the defense started to, like, taper off towards the second half.
That's true.
I mean, there's some blame to put on the defense too, but at the same time, I kind of worry about it a little bit just because, like, when you're going three and out, as much as that offense is, that defense is on the field all the time and they're just tired.
Yeah, and Jeremy, you brought it up before. You said that, like, every time or every team Caldwell moves to, like, that rushing attack just completely plummets.
Yeah, I don't think he's had a rushing game above, like, 25th in his career as a coach or offensive coordinator.
To be fair, there wasn't really much in Detroit to begin with when he got here.
But this is in Baltimore, too.
Yeah,
The biggest strike in Caldwell's career was his last year in Baltimore, because that offense was really good before he came in, dropped significantly when he was here or when he was there, and then when he came to Detroit, bounced right back up to really, really good.
Do you know that the guys at Every Day Should Be Saturday are once again talking about Jim Caldwell maybe getting like a college job? Just as a joke, because of the his time at Wake Forest.
Yeah, he's not.
Can you imagine him like going into a recruit's house and just trying to recruit a player with his face? Like,
hey,
how can you get excited trying to build for a Jim great Caldwell? Program. Like, how can you get excited to play for Jim Caldwell on a college?
We're trying to build a great program here. Yeah. This is on me. This is on me.
We're trying to build a great program and things of that nature.
I'm fired up.
I'm Jim Caldwell.
Okay, so wait. I'm
Jim Bob Caldwell.
Bob Caldwell. Yeah, do we have is this like a requirement? If you coach in Detroit, do you need like the name Jim or Joe?
Jim.
James, anything?
Well, it used to be the M's, and we moved on from the M's, thankfully.
Yeah.
Now it's the J's, I guess.
Well, we got Terrell Austin. We got GM spot.
We got Terrell Austin in the wing, so soon it's going to be like Timmy, Tommy, Tony. Just gonna have a bunch of Jersey guys in here running this.
Yeah, stuff. I mean we have Cooter and we have TNA.
Oh, the love of
Terrell Austin.
Tony, you said Tony, right?
Yes.
How about a little Dungy to follow that up, huh?
Oh God, no.
T Dungy.
Last thing I need is that.
That would be super weird though if we got Dungy right after Caldwell.
Oh gosh!
Awkward.
The sensei of Jim Caldwell.
Wait, is this a good time for me to bring up
50% more Christ?
Is this a good time for me to bring up my father's zany? My zany.
Yes, we need to do this. You mentioned this off air. We're going to be doing this every podcast now, as long as Ryan is still going to sit in that chair,
every week.
So I love the idea.
Not going anywhere.
Everyone has that crazy father or relative that just has bull bleep crazy ideas about sports. I mean, Dan Lebatar has basically made his career on ESPN because of his father being insane about sports.
And I absolutely hate that show.
I love that show so much.
It's so bad. I'm sorry.
That's why I love it, because it is bad. But Ryan's father has a distinct advantage here in that he listens to 97.1.
He does. Detroit. He listens to it. He works PMs. So he goes in right around 2:00. So you know he's riding on his way to work, listening to some Blenny and Foster, and all the Yahoos that call into their show. Let's call this segment Wally's World, because that's my dad's name, Walter. So yeah.
Walter. Wally Matthews.
Yeah, we'll call this segment Wally's World. I hope my dad doesn't listen anymore, but anyway, shout out, Dad. So the other day he comes into my room and he says, so I was listening to 97.1 yesterday, and Ryan, they're tearing this team all the way to the ground. I was like, oh yeah? He goes, yeah. So I heard on 97.1 that Martha Ford is just ready to fire Caldwell, and that Nick Saban is ready to come back to the NFL, and that Saban is going to take a head coaching job with the Lions, and he's going to bring in a whole new regime. And you know what? They're going to cut ties with Stafford too. They're going to find someone to trade him to. They're going to get a draft pick, and they're probably going to draft Connor Cook. And I was like, Dad,
Connor Cook, baby.
Dad, I was like, Dad, no, just get out of my room. I'm going to change all the presets on your car radio so that you can't get to 97.1, because I know that you can't tune it. It's just bad. Like all of the zany things that people say on 97.1. I don't even. Obviously, Terry Foster or Mike Vellini didn't say this. It was some Yahoo who called into the radio station. But like, The idea of Nick Saban getting another NFL coaching job is just
blasphemous. No, no. No, God, no, no.
And obviously, I mean, he's a prime candidate. I mean, with the recent struggles that Alabama's had, there is some NFL team that is ready to do it.
Tell me that there is some NFL team that is not ready to do it. Chris, number one, I'm going to tell you why, and this is driving me insane because number one, he didn't cut in the NFL for a lot of good reasons. The big story out of Miami was he yelled at a guy to tie his shoe during practice. And that backfired on him because he's not dealing with a kid anymore. He's dealing with a millionaire. And no millionaire is tying his shoe for this little tiny white guy who's just angry all the time. Number two, he's old and he ain't leaving Alabama. I know Alabama's had some like losses, and that probably means like Alabama's still in contention for like title hunts nearly every year. Like just because they're not being undefeated, they're still Alabama.
And they're not even undefeated right now, and they're getting like a couple of number one votes right now.
If they beat LSU, they will meet get into the playoffs.
That's kind of the age old trope of like.
But they are. I mean, they're a zombie elephant. Alabama.
Well, I'm talking about like Harbaugh. Like when Harbaugh left like San Francisco, like it was like, oh, he doesn't like. Ooh. I mean, all these millionaires can't put up with.
But for Harbaugh, there was that connection going back home to the University of Michigan. That's not there for Saban.
That's true, but I don't think Harbaugh, like, he's not a very good, like, special teams coach. Like, he needs to work more with the punters.
Can I boot you? Is that a thing?
You are in control of this call, Jeremy.
That was way too much talk about college football.
Yeah, and Ryan, you're the one who hates college football.
I was just reporting to you what Wally said. Wally said that...
This is Wally's world.
And then defended Wally about Saban.
I was saying that it's not out of the... You honestly think it's out of the realm of possibility that some desperate NFL team, if Nick Saban was available, that, like, if the New Orleans Saints all of a sudden decided, you know what, we're done with Sean Payton... You don't think they would throw a ton of money at Nick Saban?
They can throw the money in the world at him, and A, Alabama will match it, and B, Saban isn't leaving Alabama.
What if they give him complete control, though? What if he gets to buy the groceries and coach the team?
No. We're turning into 97-1 now. Give me something else crazy that he said.
97-1.
Let's go back to Bobby's world. Jim Bobby Cooter's world.
What was the one I heard a couple weeks ago from 97.1 about a guy thinking that he wanted to get some quarterback who was like now out of the league or something?
Rex Grossman?
Sure, why not?
Oh, God.
I don't know.
No, not Rex Grossman.
Charlie Batch
would be a good addition, awesome. But I'm thinking of, who am I thinking of? Kyle Orton.
Why are we talking about this right now?
Why are we
talking about this?
Because we own the Bears.
We own the Bears. Bears, you lost to a 1-6 team.
Who do we play this week? Can we talk about the Chiefs? Can we talk about how the Chiefs have not left for London yet?
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
is that a deal? Is that a big deal?
It's Wednesday night right now, and the Chiefs are just now getting prepared to leave on Thursday, I believe morning, to leave for London, which I think is a pretty interesting move. What do you guys think about that? Is it a bad move? Are the Lions actually doing something right?
Go ahead, Alex.
Okay, I was going to say, my reaction is like, oh, they're just the Lions. We can leave whenever we want, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, they can stay in London in a couple extra days, maybe go up to, like, Stonehenge or something. It's not really going to matter at this point.
But at the same time, they're a very bad team as well. So, I mean, like, we're going to win. We might win this game, and everybody's going to say that we should keep the same coaching staff because we won and we're great and... Jim Bob Cooter is the future, and I don't know. I just don't think if we win this game,
can I just,
I don't think it means much.
Can I just say that I agree with you, though, that this is a really good matchup for Detroit. They could still lose this, but, I mean, you want to talk about, like, a good matchup for Detroit to kind of get a little feel-good on this. Playing Kansas City is good because they don't throw deep ever. So that means that every problem that you have with the secondary, and even they don't even throw that far, even enough to really make the linebackers sweat that much. So, I mean, and Jamal Charles is out. So,
Martha Ford can throw further than Alex Smith.
Yes. Yes, she can.
Whoever's controlling her arms.
Joe Pesci can throw farther than Alex Smith.
I was thinking maybe the Chiefs like stayed in Kansas City just like as long as they possibly could, hoping that like Jamal Charles' ACL would magically like heal itself and that they could get him on a plane. Yeah. And
they,
take them with them.
They weren't even in Kansas City. They were down in New Orleans. They were trying to find some voodoo doctor down there that Andy Reid knew once upon a time.
Maybe, but didn't the is the Lions mascot, is his name Leo?
No, it's Rory.
Rory. Rory. Okay, so didn't
come on, Ryan. You?
Whatever. let's talk about NFL teams having mascots for a minute. But anyways, do you remember the Kansas City game a few years ago when Jamal Charles got hurt? Because didn't he run into Rory?
Yeah.
He did. He did. It's the curse of Rory. It's great. Fantastic. And by the way, guess who's, you know, national animal is a lion? That's right, England. Suck on that.
Good voodoo.
Good voodoo. So, does this really matter that they're going to be going over? Like, I mean, you got jet lag and crap to worry about, right?
I just really don't understand why you would wait so long. You have a full week to recuperate after. So, Reed said something about, you know, this isn't a vacation, this is a work trip. So, you know, I just want to, we're comfortable in our own training facilities, blah, 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 blah. But I don't know. It seems weird to me to risk, you know, weird sleep schedule. Just, it takes a while to get used to, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, this is like going to, like, you know, West Coast coming East kind of deal.
Yeah, I mean, how many hours ahead are they?
Well, five? Eight. It's about eight.
Wait, who?
Yeah, because
we're talking about London?
Yes, London's about 8 hours ahead. Is it ahead or behind? I don't know how to say it.
Are
you talking
four.
About us,
it's
like
four.
The Eastern time zone?
It's 4 hours ahead of Eastern.
Oh crap! I way overshot it. Four or five. It really depends. And you know what the weird thing is? We have to change our clocks on Sunday too, and they don't do that.
Oh, it does. Yeah,
we don't do that.
We get an extra hour's worth of sleep.
That's true.
But the UK doesn't do that. They don't do that time change thing. So that's going to make it even weirder.
Yeah.
So suddenly, yeah. And
while we're talking about London, do you guys like London games? Do you think this is
absolutely
a good thing?
If the Lions can always have these count as an away game, you can sign me up for London games for the next 30 years.
Yeah,
we talked about
fine.
This before about this idea of just going elsewhere. I mean, on one hand, it's kind of cool. On the other hand, I'm starting to get a little tired of them. And then on the third hand, which I don't have, but. I'm not looking forward to getting up this early to start writing my stream of consciousness recap with this whole game.
When your product is this bad, it's really hard for me to wake up at 9:30 in the morning for you.
And these have all been bad games in London. They don't send good teams.
You guys are children. 9:30 is child's play. My God. I'm going to be getting up at 6 o'clock. In the morning to cover the 1-6 Lions.
Don't need to watch
this. Good luck,
this.
Man.
You can tune in the fourth quarter and it's like, oh, hey, what happened? Oh, the Lions are losing? Okay. Let me write my quick thoughts. I'm just angry.
You realize,
Jeremy, you probably have to get up earlier to run the site, too. So,
yeah,
I mean,
if I'm covering the inactives, that means I need to give up at 4:30 to prepare to write the inactives when they come out at 5 a.m.
Sucks on that
sucks
coffee, bro.
Suck. You know what's awesome about my job as editor? I get to sleep until like noon, just wake up and edit all your guys' shit.
Just come in and just tell us why everything we've done is awful.
And then I'll show up on the podcast next week pretending like I watched the game.
Can we talk for a fact that apparently we're sending a bunch of guys over to England that know nothing about the country either?
Not surprising.
Who was it that had the really bad fake English accent?
I didn't see this. I heard you talking about it.
I saw the Jaguars last week had a video of like all their awful.
Oh,
like,
it was
English
the Jaguars.
Accents. Yeah,
I feel like that's going to happen with the Lions. Jaguars. Those stupid commercials.
Yeah, it is Jaguar for Jaguar. The English accent, isn't it? Yeah.
But they did, DetroitLions.com did post a video this week of British lingo, and no one knew anything about
my favorite. Football. My favorite is how aluminum is aluminium over there.
Well, you were telling me, Jeremy, that apparently, like, they didn't know the nature of the word kerfuffle.
Yeah, there was, like, one out of maybe 10 players that knew what the word kerfuffle meant, which...
Wait, hold on, but I didn't even know that was, like, an English thing. I thought
that's
kerfuffle...
That's the thing, I didn't either.
Like, I've heard that since growing up in, like, Michigan and Ohio.
Yeah.
Like, that's Midwest.
Is it really a surprise that, like, a lot of the players for the Lions just, like, aren't, you know, very worldly or cultured or, I guess, probably for lack of a better term, football. Educated.
I mean, it is football. It's a very internal-pointed sport for this country.
Yep. Darius Slay thought Lambeau Field was short for Lamborghini. I'm not shocked by any of this. Are we done previewing the Chiefs game? Was it us just, like, bitching about how early we have to get up?
Yes.
How the Chiefs haven't left yet?
We could talk about 5 more minutes about how much Alex Smith sucks.
No, we're good. Let's get to the questions.
We should get to the questions. We actually have some good questions this week, and I just need to find them.
That's insulting to our listeners.
Actually.
For the first time this year.
But look, I'm just saying at this point, I think we've got a lot of the id out of the way, which are questions that are basically saying, why does this team suck? And
Joe Lombardi, basically.
Yeah, and Joe. Yeah, that's the thing. The volume of questions has gone down, but that's just because no one's asking about Joe Lombardi anymore, which is fantastic. Questions. We got some questions. All right. You just purchased the Detroit Lions. This is from TJW Go Blue. You've just purchased the Detroit Lions from Martha. Now name something radical you do to change the franchise. So basically, this is nothing smart, just something really weird and kooky.
Yeah. And I saw this question right away, and I started thinking right away because I very much enjoy this question. And my very first action as owner of the Detroit Lions would be to burn the NFL playoff banners they have hanging in Ford Field.
The NFC playoff banners.
Yeah, I'll have some sort of luncheon and burn it in front of everybody.
A luncheon? That seems so formal. I thought you'd have maybe like a ceremonial burning.
Bro, they had
like
luncheon
a, like
there
a
for
a kid rock concert or something.
It's all about misdirection.
It's all about, wait, One Direction?
Misdirection.
So if the Lions had actually gotten farther last year, do you think they would have hung like an NFC finalist banner like they did in Indianapolis?
God, I hope not.
Hey, like, that's fine. I mean, we need to win a playoff game.
Right. So yeah. my idea for replacing those banners is to kind of go the opposite direction and motivate the team by putting something like no playoff wins since something, you know, 1992 or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, like one of those, like, you know, it's been X days
right.
at this place since an accident, kind of like that.
Exactly.
It's been X days since we've been, like, relevant past the regular season.
So it's just hanging up above the team at all times as a reminder.
You would just run this just
I
as
like
a
that.
Joyless place.
That's a great idea, Jeremy.
I like it. I like it, man.
And then, like, there's going to be this awesome celebration when we finally get to tear it down. We'll burn it again because I like burning things.
Yeah, it's going to be another. It's going to be another luncheon.
We'll do it on Devil's Night or something.
It's going to be a Stannis Baratheon ceremony.
But you could charge $5 for admission. Wouldn't you want to go to that?
Oh hell yeah.
No. Well, what are they serving?
Which brings us to Alex's suggestion.
Well, yeah, my suggestion was already answered by the person who asked the question. I would put pizza, different pizza brands across the entire, I would call it Reno Field, obviously. And then we got Little Caesars, we got Hungry Howie's, we got Jet's Pizza, we got Fat Cats, we got Cottage Inn. Just everything is pizza.
Cottage Inn,
Very good. Very expensive, but very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, hashtag POE. Thanks, Jeremy.
Ryan?
Well, first order of business is to change the mascot's name from Rory, which is stupid, to Leo, because why wouldn't you have alliteration? Leo the Lion. It just makes way too much sense.
You don't want to go Rory. You don't want to go Cecil RIP?
No. What a dumb cat. I'm glad he died.
Wow, hot take. Hot take.
Second order of business. I'm finding out the glasses distributor that Martha Ford goes to, and I'm getting her glasses. She's going to be my side chick. She's going to help me run the Lions. Whatever. I've always wanted a sugar mama. So I'm going to bring her back.
Oh, God.
I'm gonna host wrestling events every Saturday.
There we go. I like it.
I need to get some extra gate money, which I'm going to use to absorb Sweetwater wings because it's the only kind of food you're gonna be able to buy because pizza sucks.
Get out of here. Get out of here.
WOE, wings over everything. And Jeremy's invited because he has the good idea for the luncheon and the burning of playoff flags.
So
and my mom can be in charge of player management.
Sure, why not? Your father can be the president.
He's gonna be in charge of PR.
I was thinking Wally could call the games.
There's no way I'm getting rid of Dan Miller. That'd be like the Tigers getting rid of Ernie Harwell when Shem Beckler got put in charge.
Goddamn Shem Beckler. Oh.
What a maroon.
Maroon. I was told TJ W. Gobluth thought that I would move the franchise to Lido. No, I would not move the franchise to Lido because you want to know why? Because I don't want people to willingly go to the city of Toledo. Like, no one comes to Toledo of their own free will.
Look at Chris healing it up against the entire city of Toledo.
Man.
I hope nobody who tunes into the ticket in Toledo is listening to the podcast.
No, I'm being too harsh, but still, like, this is my id coming out because there are these NBC commercials here that says you can, like, life's better here, and there's this slogan, PR slogan going around, you can do better in Toledo, and I'm like, better at what?
You can do better than Toledo is what they mean.
Like, Toledo, you realize, like, Toledo might go dead if Jeep decides to move out of the city. Like, that's like 30% of the workforce, and that might actually happen here. I'm terrified. There's a lot of good food in Toledo, but I wouldn't ask anyone to come to Toledo if they didn't need to.
So if you're not going to move the franchise to Toledo, what are you going to do? You're not going to, like, put up a touchdown Jesus or anything, are you?
No, I'm... Okay, hold up.
What?
Get at me. First thing I would do, actually, is I'd probably just open up the roof. I just put him outside. Why not? You know what? Just go ham on this. Just make him play in this horrid, frigid Detroit weather just for pure sheer. I'd also take a page from the Eastern Michigan playbook, and because we're Detroit and we're gritty and all that, I'd paint the field gray.
Speaking of the field, you would also, instead of putting Detroit in the end zone, you would put it's lit.
Yes. No. And I would play Rich Homie Quan for touchdown instead of Gridiron Heroes, just some kind of way.
Oh yes, I like it.
Or every single time the opponent does something good, it's just like Chris's voiceover. It's just saying him saying, "That's basura."
And then we can, you know what? We'll just import some Lil Wayne. Just do third down for what? I'll just make it just really, really heavy.
All right.
I've killed Ryan Matthews.
Oh God. Do we have any other good questions?
Into a joke.
We have to do the wrestling Lions one still.
We do.
That was the only thing I had in mind. Do we have any other good questions?
We do have a few few ones here. Big Blue Silver with three is the name. What happened with Stafford? Notice he's growing his face fuzz out. Now that he's under the tutelage of Cooter, will he have a clean shave again?
No, I think Cooter is a big fan of the landing strip.
Yeah, they're not playing in Brazil. They're playing in London.
This is true, and London people do not exactly know what a razor is.
I think Cooter wants Stafford to remain unshaven.
He's just carrying Levy's legacy while Levy's out.
Except that's true.
As much more like a prepubescent boy at this point.
I'm glad that this is what the season has come to. 1-6, and we're talking about Stafford's facial hair.
I think it was just a setup for... Oh, okay, next question. T182, which would you prefer, the Lions traveling by a plane, 8 hours one way to London to play one of their away games against the Chiefs across the pond, then going right on to the bye week, or the Lions traveling Arrowhead Stadium to play the Chiefs and keeping it countryside? I guess it's just basically a question of, this is going back to, do we like the London games?
Yeah, that's pretty easy. I mean, I like having one of our away games being a neutral field stadium. I mean, if the Lions were playing a meaningful game, that is. Like, right now, I don't care at all. But, you know.
Can I ask you an ancillary question? Because I feel like maybe because the Lions, last year with the Falcons, gave London its first exciting American football game in Wembley Stadium in the history of this godforsaken London experiment.
It's been really bad, hasn't it?
Yeah, but that was like their most exciting
game.
That game was lit because the Falcons just completely collapsed. But my question based off of that is, how many little English tykes decided on that day with that exciting game to become Lions fans because they pulled it out in the Falcons? And how much regret do you think they're going to be feeling a few years down the way?
I don't know. That's awful. I'm not going to raise my child as a Lions fan. I'm not a masochist, so.
I will. I don't mind.
Builds character, you know?
Builds
going,
character.
Yeah, you're going through some adversity.
That's something Wally always told me. Like, I grew up playing
Don't compare me to Wally.
I grew up playing ice hockey, and he would never let me get the hockey bag that had wheels on it because he always told me I needed to carry my bag because it builds character. But hold on. So, like, can you say the beginning of this question again, Chris?
Sorry, yeah, it's a little weirdly worded here. So which would you prefer, the Lions traveling by plane for eight hours?
That's it. That's all I wanted to hear, because when you first said this question, I was like, is he going to say, like, another mode of transportation that the Lions could take to get to London? Because I'm like, I would rather them each individually, like, get their own, like, chitty-chitty-bang-bang. Then they can just, like...
Man, just Levy and everyone just take a speedboat.
Wow. That is an old reference for you.
Wouldn't that be
so... Yeah, that is musty. Chitty-chitty-bang-bang?
Whatever.
You're younger than me. How do you know about chitty-chitty-bang-bang?
Who told you?
You like that. You like that.
You like that.
You like that.
That was so corny, and I just
such a Kirk
can't.
Cousins thing.
It
everything
is.
I know about everything I know about Kirk Cousins. That's like the embodiment of who he is.
Michigan State's own Kirk Cousins.
Yeah,
out there.
I hear like he's just that type of guy on the sideline. Like he'll just walk around and be like, "Are you entertained?" Like he's the whitest person on the sideline.
This just in, hot take. Kirk Cousins is Russell Crowe on the sidelines.
Russell. Tingling asks, will Stafford ever develop into an elite quarterback like Andy Dalton and Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Oh, God.
This is where the questions end.
Never doing questions again.
Let's do one serious one and...
Yeah, sure. Do you want to pick one, Jeremy? Because there's some good serious ones. I just don't have one in my radar.
We kind of went over this one, but I never turned down an opportunity to talk about what I don't like. Well, no, Cooter too, but what I don't like about Jim Caldwell, and I can't seem to find the question now, but it's... sorry, let me pull it up. What is the biggest flaw regarding Jim Caldwell?
Do you want
biggest
to
flaw? That's by Harrington HOF. By
yes.
the way,
yep.
Harrington HOF. He always has good questions. Shout out Harrington HOF.
Yeah, shout out to him and his avatar. His avatar of some woman, apparently pooping out a man.
Okay, never mind. I thought we were talking about Big Blue Bilver.
No, I mean, like, look at his picture there. That's
some face sitting on a bus. Anyways.
Where's his body? I see it now.
Very interesting.
Oh, biggest flaw regarding Jim Cole.
Podcast is ruined.
This one has gone a bit off the rails, but...
A bit.
But that's what happened when Cooter comes to town.
Mm-hmm.
things get crazy when you get involved with Cooter.
I would say that he has no soul. You kind of need that. No. I don't really see, like, I could start into different flaws about what he does, seriously. But, I mean, I just look at it and I'm like, yeah, but, I mean, I could say that about a lot of these things I'm about to say about a lot of different NFL coaches. He plays conservatively down the stretch, sure. Like, we're going up against Andy Reid on Sunday, a guy who kicked, like, seven. How many field goals did he kick?
Yeah, I think in it was that seven. One game?
Seven, I think.
He kicked like seven field goals when he was down by multiple scores. Yeah, he kicked like field goals when he was down like 14 or something.
But yeah, I think that to me is his biggest flaw is the game management, and I don't care how many NFL coaches are guilty of it. Down the stretch, he's just I know everyone threw around the he went for it the most on fourth down last year.
Yeah, last year. And I that's the one thing that baffles me about well, him, is that
I think
changed.
He showed big balls last year.
He did.
And then he went away from
didn't.
It.
I don't really buy it as much as everyone else is because part of the reason I think for that is the beginning of the year, remember the kicking situation? That's yeah, true. I'd go for fourth down a lot if that was our kicking situation as well. So I kill Caldwell over his use of timeouts all the time. That, to me, is something that's inexcusable. And that also happens with a lot of NFL coaches. And I don't know if they need to add, like, an extra coach just for time management. But people are burning possessions that they could potentially have by not using timeouts when they're on defense. And this brings me to one other thing, which is actually a defense of Caldwell that happened in the Minnesota game. A couple people were complaining about him not challenging the Calvin Johnson kind of jump ball catch at the end of the game. I think replays are pretty inconclusive. I know some people would disagree, but I don't think that play gets reversed. And plus, things are moving so fast, you just want to get to the line, and you're at like the half-yard line. And then there's an offsides call, so you're at the half-yard line.
Right.
You're at the one-centimeter line. You have three plays to get in. You just need to get the ball in as quickly as possible because you still have two timeouts. You still have the two-minute warning. If you lose one of those timeouts on a challenge that you don't win, now you're not getting the ball back if you miss the onside kick.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I was right at the first row there, and I just knew, I saw it in person, like I knew that was not going to get overturned. And like I think that was right directly after Stafford kind of hurried up the offense after that, and it didn't look like anybody was filling the A-gaps there. I thought he could, like even if his hand is injured there, like you can take the QB sneak and just lean over and get the touchdown there. I thought that should have happened. But with Caldwell, like, he says all of the right things off the field, and he sounds like a really smart guy. But I think I might have mentioned this in the last podcast. Like, on the field, like, he looks like he's calm, but I think he just looks like he's completely confused. Like,
yeah,
he just doesn't know what he's doing out there.
I was almost about to say, I was about to come in and revise after Jeremy before you jumped in. Like, I think his biggest flaw is just I can't stand listening to his press conferences. They're just useless.
It's terrible.
They are like the epitome of coach speak. He just does it so well that it just gets you so frustrated.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. Like that's his job is to make press conferences not news.
But I mean, at this, you don't need to make it not. I mean, sure, you don't want to make it news, but at the same time, like you've got to. I don't know, just something about the press conference just really frustrates me. Especially, like, each time I try to start up, like, a Lions notes and I'm trying to look at it. And then after, like, about 15 minutes of talking, I'm just staring at my notes like, he said nothing here.
Yeah.
There's nothing I can...
That's part of the reason why I stopped just doing the complete transcript. Is just like, there's nothing there. No one's going to comment about anything about this.
Just a bunch
of
empty cliches that,
yeah.
You know, just... He watched... Like, he just watched, like, Rudy or something and has decided to, like, put that all down to paper. Ryan? Caldwell's biggest flaw?
that he has me disinterested in my favorite football team 7 games into the season.
It's all on him, huh?
Yeah. I don't know. You guys beat the Caldwell horse to death.
You're really bummed about this. I think this is all stemming from the FanDuel thing. Do we need to console you a little bit about that?
Can we not talk about it?
No, I think we have to.
Championship.
I think we should talk about something else, and that's something Ryan and Alex have wanted to do for a while, and Jeremy, we might have to sit in the sidelines here.
Oh, yes. now I'm interested again.
Yeah, so we're
going to talk about... No Jerry here, unfortunately.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about which Lion would be the best pro wrestler. Ryan, you go first.
Oh, no. Why do I have to go first?
Because... Just do it.
Okay, all right. I'm going to go first. So... My idea for who would be the best professional wrestler from the Lions roster. Plot twist. It's a tag team. Okay. So one of them is Matt Prater, because the guy is clearly, hold on. This is what's great.
Tap out. I tap.
You should tap out, because check it out. Matt Prater has apparently one of the worst tempers on the team. After the Broncos game, the Lions wouldn't let him talk to the press because he would have cut an incredible promo on the NFL.
Oh, God. All right, who's next?
And his tag team partner is Don Molbeck.
The bulldozer.
They have the chemistry, I'll give you that.
They had the chemistry. You need the talker, and you need just the vile villain, and then you need the muscle. And the mole and the bulldozer is that muscle. He's gonna catch that hot tag, and he's just gonna lay the smack down on some baby faces.
All right. Okay, I'm gonna counter you. I'm gonna do a tag team right back at you then. All right.
All right.
I'm going to give you Karan Reed, the meathead, the strong guy.
Okay.
And he's the center of attention of the greatest rap album of all time.
No, second greatest, because Stan Van Gundy's is
second greatest, I'm sorry. The
Pistons Karan already is, claimed greatest, I'm unfortunately. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, Stan Van Gundy is also the manager of my tag team.
he's like the Paul Heyman. Yes.
Yeah.
I think CM Van Gundy is a Paul Heyman here. Yes, absolutely.
I think Paul Heyman and Cooter would get together.
Oh God.
Oh. All right, I tap Reed. Again.
All right, Karan Reed.
Okay, we got Karan Reed, the meathead, the muscle guy, and then we got James Iadigbo. Iadigbo. But we can just cut that off and just call him Digbo, because he's got the muscle. He's the talker. He's the one that gets everybody hyped before the game. That's a good tag team right there.
Oh yeah, great tag team. They will be rendered useless against Matt Prater and the Moldozer.
Oh, sorry, we're the tag team champs. I'm sorry. Just like how you lost in FanDuel, we got this.
Just how I lost last week in FanDuel. You know what, Reno? Right now on the podcast, you know what I'm issuing right now?
What's that?
I'm issuing a rematch, brother.
The rematch,
Jeremy,
clause.
I think this is a terrible idea. We've unleashed something horrible.
This is where the former champ gets a chance to get his title back. And I want my rematch this week, Reno. I want my 80 cents back. I want my dignity back. And I want my mom to keep serving me dinner, because she's cut me off, man. She told me no more dinner until you beat that punk Reno in fantasy football. So what do you say? Do I get my challenge?
I accept, and let it be known that I also won $75 on a FanDuel tournament with that team.
Which I feel like is kind of like my doing, because I picked players that you couldn't pick, and therefore you had to pick players that you picked. So.
Yeah, but you also, I couldn't pick Todd Gurley, because you picked Todd Gurley, and I could have got an extra $50 off of that, so...
Irrelevant, whatever. I get my rematch this week.
By the way, didn't you also have Stanford -14 this weekend? As far as gambling?
Oh, I was going to, but good thing
I
didn't.
Did you never pull that trigger?
No, wait, did they not cover?
No, they covered.
They covered, and I told you, I guaranteed that too. You should have.
No, you didn't. You told me not to gamble anymore.
I told you to pick it.
This segment is sponsored by FanDuel.
FanDuel, one day fantasy football that is totally not gambling online.
Yeah, keep stuffing money into Jeremy's account
that I will never use because I hate fantasy football.
Wait, do they actually pay you in just like FanDuel, like what is it, fan bucks or fan creds?
I just have like a crate that comes with a bunch of FanDuel swag at my front door.
No, you do not.
No, I
like
don't.
100 boxes with FanDuel on the outside of it.
I so wish you did.
It's a hoodie that just says FanDuel on it.
They don't have any merch. They spend all their money on commercials.
Yeah, what was that? Like 93 million I saw earlier on Twitter. On ads.
Have we run out of words in the English language to use for FanDuel and DraftKings promo codes?
I don't know. I think the other one I saw the other day was like lumbar. podcast over.
I think it is. Jesus.
It can be. Pride of Detroit.
As far as I'm concerned, it's over because I got my rematch.
I don't know if that's a good thing.
Now
for
here
you,
comes
man.
The Divas matchup.
You might lose another 80 cents.
Right, PrideofDetroit.com, at Pride of Detroit, Chris Lemieux, Alex Reno, Jeremy Reisman, Ryan Matthews. You heard all the Twitter stuff in before. Look for it on iTunes. Leave us a review. Tell us why we suck or why we're great or anything.
Please review us, but don't base it off this episode.
Yeah, go back and listen to the other.
No, base it off this episode.
This is a five star right here.
five and a half star.
I think that's it.